Welcome back to Strange Reality, the Spooky Shit Podcast. We talk about all things paranormal, aliens, mysterious, space.
Spooky and weird.
Spooky and weird. And today we're going to be talking about something that is probably one of the greatest, like, feats of human engineering.
I think, totally.
In the history of man. Forget electricity, forget, like, Tesla coils, forget, like, the first electric car, like, forget all of that. Forget, like, bridges, like, you know, Empire State Building. It's going to be the invention of the particle accelerator. And specifically the CERN Large Hadron Collider that's in Switzerland. So the Large Hadron Collider, or the LHC for short, is the world's largest and most powerful particle accelerator. And it first started up in... Actually, it's one day after the anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
The... I can't do math. 13 year anniversary. So it was first, the construction first started in September 10th of 2008, and it remains the largest addition to CERN's accelerator complex. The LHC consists of a 27 kilometer ring of superconducting magnets with a number of accelerating structures to boost the energy of the particles along the way. So accelerators, particle accelerators, they were invented in the 1930s to provide energetic particles to investigate the structure of atomic nuclei. And since then, they have been used to investigate many aspects of particle physics. Now, I remember when they first built it, or when it was completed, I think in when CERN completed it in 2010 or 2011 is when they finished it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they completed it. Like I said, it's 27 kilometers. Like, it's huge.
Yeah,
it's not just like you walk into a factory and it's just like a ring, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, this thing's giant.
It runs through like a town.
Yeah.
Like underground.
And I read something how it costed like, you know, like trillions of dollars or something to make.
Yeah, it was insane.
Because of how big it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember when they first completed it, it made a lot of like news headlines, and they were actually worried it was going to create a black hole in the factory.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so where the... Where the particles collide, you know, collider, in the chamber that they collide, it's like, I say chamber, but it's actually pretty big. It's like this big warehouse area, and like that's where like the both colliders meet, and like this humongous ring that goes around both of them.
I feel like if whoever's listening, I feel like you should look it up, like just look up a picture or something like that, CERN, so you can get an idea of what it looks like.
Yeah, look up CERN particle collider or the Large Hadron collider. I can't remember how you pronounce it, but yeah, it's in Switzerland. It is insane. They were worried it was going to create a black hole, like right in the middle of the factory. Yeah. Like, they think that it was going to, like, just destroy the fabric of space-time.
With, like, the particles colliding?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because it's like, the most advanced one that's ever been built.
Right.
So, like, I could understand the worry. And the reason we kind of chose this topic for today's episode is because we're all about, like, reality-bending topics. And, like, things that are kind of obviously just strange and weird. And remember when Nelson Mandela died?
Mm-hmm.
Either whether you remember him dying like in prison, like in the, I think like the 80s or 90s, or like there's other people who believe that he, like that's where the Mandela effect comes in, right?
Yeah.
So I think some people, there's a theory that, we're already jumping into the theories about it. There's a theory that the collider, there was a catastrophic event that happened with the collider, right?
With this one?
Yeah. And that it created like this parallel universe.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why, like, and that's, it kind of, like, invented the Mandela effect.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Because when we were researching this, I was like, okay, this is really interesting. Like, this collider alone and colliding particles, like, all that's pretty cool. But I was like, but what is, like, the significance that makes it, you know, weird or strange?
Well, like, I think that in since they've been around, and particle colliders have been around since the 1930s, right? So I think, you know... As morbid as this might sound, things like the atomic bomb or the hydrogen bomb, things that are causing like massive destructive power, these are like such insane feats of engineering. Like, do you know, have you ever watched How It Works or like Explained?
Oh yeah, I've seen stuff like that before or videos from them before.
I saw one, it was like about the atomic bombs that were dropped in Japan in 1945. And it's really weird. So when they dropped the bomb, they dropped it like, I think it was like, it detonated about like 1,000 feet. Maybe, no, not 1,000. That sounds too high. It wasn't close to the ground when it dropped.
Right.
Like when it went off. Now, there was an explosion in the bomb that launched this, like these two, I think it was like charged uranium rods into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it created that like massive explosion with the mushroom cloud and everything. It's things like that. And that was in 1945.
Right.
And the Germans with, you know, and then later in America with the Manhattan Project, they were working on that since kind of like the World War II started.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on some sort of atomic bomb. And I think that if Germany was pretty close too.
Yeah.
And we'll save this topic. Then we're going to bring up,
I was going to say, episode. This would be a good topic on its own.
So this is kind of tying into like, just the sheer like engineering power that a lot of these people's minds have, where during Operation Paperclip, I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Sounds familiar.
So Operation Paperclip was it was basically the indoctrination of German scientists after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So Wernher von Braun was the founder of NASA, but he was actually a Nazi scientist.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically when World War II ended during the Nuremberg trials, a lot of Nazis were tried for their crimes against humanity, right?
Yeah.
But some of them who were particularly like really, you know, good scientists and good engineers, they were brought to America to help with the Manhattan Project and like subsequent projects after that. Some of them started NASA.
Wow.
So that was Operation Paperclip. So it's as horrible as that sounds, and you can kind of draw whatever opinion you have about, you know, like bringing in such horrible, I guess, forces of humanity.
Right.
And like to
they're
try to,
literally, this is going to sound like bad, but it's like they're like evil geniuses. Like, because they're obviously horrible people, yeah, and have done horrible like, things, but if they can invent these crazy, you know, yeah.
It, like
things, it's
well,
like,
cause, well, because Albert Einstein was a German scientist, I believe. I'm not sure. Someone's gonna really, you know, write in and be pissed off if I get this wrong. I'm not looking at it right now. I'm just saying off the top of my head. I can't remember if he was German born or American born, but I know like he defected from Nazi Germany to the United States.
Okay.
So he was part of that project too.
Interesting.
I just can't remember his nationality. That's about it.
Yeah, but I can't remember either. That's really cool though. But yeah, I mean, not cool in that they brought Nazis over, but I guess like,
well,
I mean, like interesting, I guess I should say.
Well, it's like, okay, so it's like they founded NASA.
Right.
Yeah. Like NASA was founded by a Nazi.
Like it's interesting. Yeah. How that all came about, like in such a, I don't know, chaotic way.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got to go to the moon because of basically from Operation Paperclip, and we got to put out, like, do all these Apollo missions, and we got to put satellites out. Yeah. So it was definitely some, in a roundabout way, some benefit to the madness.
Right, but, right. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to like come off wrong, but yeah, it is. It's just, like I said, interesting.
So the particle accelerator, going back to that. So particle accelerators, they're like their main job is to speed up and increase the energy of a beam of particles by generating electric fields that accelerate the particles and then magnetic fields that steer and focus them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the LHC accelerates and collides protons and also heavy lead ions.
Yeah.
So CERN. CERN.
We should say what it like stands for or whatever.
Yeah. So the European Organization for Nuclear Research. So that's what CERN stands for, and they are the world's largest particle physics laboratory. So CERN studies the tiniest particles in the universe by studying like the fundamental forms of like energy, matter. They also do. They're just kind of like the leaders of how the universe works,
mm-hmm.
like the research and like how that works. Yeah.
So isn't that like, okay. So when researching this, there was like so much to learn. Cause I feel like you got to know like some things about like physics and chemistry to like kind of understand the significance of that. And I don't know those things that well, but basically from my understanding, the whole point of the collider is to like understand how the universe works, right? Like it's to understand like particles better. Yeah,
it's how to understand particle physics and like, because a lot of it, and this just happened very recently, that a female scientist from NASA. She took like photographed the first like black hole.
Oh yeah,
it, this was very recently, like maybe yeah. within like a couple years ago. Yeah, she I think she was the leader behind taking the photograph the very first, like the first time like a black hole. So that's kind of like, and the research they're doing is, I think it's also, it's with the purpose behind it is also to kind of like maybe leave Earth if we have to, you know, it's kind of also research in like how space travel would evolve.
Yeah.
So
I read something about how it was like, well, it, I mean, it's also studying like how particles move. So being able to move particles into, I read something about how it was like, they're seeing if they can move particles into other like dimensions or other realms kind
of. Well, that was the whole worry behind what they were doing. And they got a lot of controversy because of like how this was going to affect.
Right.
Like what if something goes wrong?
I know. I'm wondering about like the ethics behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wonder what kind of like permits you have to have, like what even, you know, is the process right? to just do something like this?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
How do you like, let's say I wanted to build a particle accelerator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do I have to like mail to the state?
Yeah. To get right. approved?
You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Like, so we might create a black hole, but we have permission to do this?
But we also at the very off chance might like come up with a way to travel space much quicker.
Right.
But the black hole thing. So.
Right. So I read something about how basically the LHC, like it kind of allows scientists to recreate the conditions that existed right after the Big Bang happened.
Right. So that's when ever expanding infinite mass and infinite energy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they're trying to kind of like figure out, I guess.
And another, so there's a couple different, even to go off of like the Big Bang theory, not the show, not to be confused with the sitcom.
Right.
There's a couple different, I mean, I think they're all under the same umbrella of what scientists who believe in the theory like think happened.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one theory I read, instead of it just being like, oh, there was nothing, and then there just was, right?
Yeah.
There's just some sort of like scientific event that created the universe. Somebody, it was really interesting. It was instead of there being an explosion, they said what appeared first is like a ball of light. Like light appeared, right?
Uh-huh.
And then that light became aware of its existence in a 360 degree like radius, right?
Yeah.
And then it moved a little bit away and then got self-aware there and create another. It's like, so you've ever seen like that, you'll see it in like a chemistry lab maybe, or like some sort of like science like class or something. It's like it's almost like a pyramid of circles.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense? It's like, let's see if I can pull it up, a picture real quick.
I know what you're talking about.
Big Bang. I'm just going to look up Big Bang circles because I can't think of what.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick tangent while you're looking that up. It's kind of interesting what you just said, because it's like going back to our very first episode about religion and things like that. Like a lot of religions, like, you know, I think even Christianity, it's like God first created light or something like that.
Yeah.
So it is interesting if that were like, you know, actually true with this, with the Big Bang theory, like there was first light. I don't know.
Sorry, I'm trying to find that specific diagram, but
I feel like I know what you're talking about, because I feel like I've seen it like on a poster board, like in chemistry or something like that.
So think of a Venn diagram times like 20. It's really what it is. So I think that's where the Venn diagram, like the concept came from, was that. But so this is dangerous stuff. It really is, at least to me. I think so. Like,
right.
I mean, technology, I think, has expanded like pretty exponentially when you consider what we didn't have like 20, 30 years ago.
I know.
Compared to what we have now.
I know. That is crazy to think about. Like, we didn't even have phones really, like, you know, 30 years ago, but we had these colliders, not this one, but still, like you, like you said, they started in the 1930s, so that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, so now like you know, the first ever cell phone was like, what, like that, the Nokia,
I think,
the,
so
the,
yeah,
the big like box with like the antenna, I think it was a Nokia, that or Motorola, but anyway. And then now fast forward 30 years, we have like the, like all the information in the world in the palm of our hands.
I know, right? That is crazy to think about.
So like, and So the another, I guess it's not really a theory. It's actually true. So whatever civilians like us have, like just normal day-to-day people, like what we have is technology, like nice computers, you know, like you know, fast smartphones, things like that. The military is like 30 years ahead of that.
I have heard that before.
Yeah, like we kind of get like the hand-me-down from them is right. Really what it is.
Yeah, I have heard that before.
Yeah, so that's another something to think about where it's like, you know, in the 1930s, they were trying to devise a way to collide particles together.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, you know, almost 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, think of how significant that's of a change crazy. That is.
So basically, from my understanding of the collider, particles go in two opposite directions and then they just smash into each other.
Yeah,
and they get faster and faster. Correct. Like, okay.
Yeah. So because it, like it's a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it goes in like, and it's, and when I was doing research for the episode, I didn't because I knew about it, but I didn't know how big it was. I thought that like it existed maybe just in like a large facility.
Right.
But then I like looked it up and it was like, oh no, it's like underneath a town. Like that's how big it is. That's
crazy. I didn't know that. Yeah.
So, yeah, like she's like Haley had said, so inside the LHC, like two beams of light travel at close speed. Well, they travel, the particle beams, the fact that like the speed of light seems so unachievable in terms of like space travel, like, but you can launch particles pretty close to the speed in the LHC.
Yeah, that's what I read.
So the beams travel in opposite directions into separate beam pipes and then two tubes kept at ultra high vacuum.
Okay, so yeah, it just like vacuums the particles.
Yeah.
Till they get closer and closer and then collide.
Yeah, so they're basically, I think, now, I don't really know what exactly it is because I haven't done a whole lot of research.
But it's kind of hard to research this, though. Like I said, it's like you kind of have to have somewhat of an understanding of like physics, I feel like, to really
fully grasp
like the concept, kind of.
Well, that and the fact that like, what is it? Like you, I think this is something, dark matter.
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to study dark, like how dark matter works. But dark matter to me, I don't know anything about dark matter. Like I know the name and like, it just sounds like a comic book movie.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like entity. So I'm not really sure what exactly that is. Maybe we'll do an episode on it.
Right.
But I like, so when I was reading about it, it was like dark matter, I was like, I always hear that name especially recently, like of what, you know, scientists are researching.
But yeah, I've definitely heard that before. I'm
not quite sure what it is.
So, okay. So we have in our notes here. So one of the main goals of the LHC is to discover what dark matter and energy are, because the matter that we know that makes up all the stars and galaxies only accounts for 4% of the content of the universe.
Yeah.
So the other 96% is dark matter and dark energy, and that's what they're trying to look into. That's pretty crazy. I didn't know that. Only 4% of like everything that we know. You know what I mean? Like,
well, if you put the and here's what's also going to like rack your brain. So if you put if you put like the universe's existence, how long like it's perceived that the universe has existed on like a 12-month calendar.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of just put it into that, like, frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
Human existence has existed for, like, a second before midnight on December 31st.
I heard that before. Yeah, I read that before.
Yeah. So, and I think that there was another thing that I read that it was, like, throughout history, there have been, like, multiple, like, extinction-level events. Like, the dinosaurs getting wiped out, the Ice Age, things like that, right? And I think that we're coming up pretty close to another extinction level event. So maybe maybe it's something like global warming, where even though it's kind of on track to be how the rest of them were in terms of time, but it's something that we kind of just did ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, totally.
Does it make sense that like it was within our control, but like it was just always meant to be? Isn't that kind of weird to think about?
It is, right. Right, because people always say, like, you know, with the natural cycles of the Earth, like, another ice age or some sort of catastrophic event is coming up, but, like, humans, we just kind of, like, accelerated that happening.
Yeah, so I think that, and I think Elon Musk has kind of stated with saying this, because somebody had asked him, like, if he's worried about what the world is going to look like in terms of, you know, global warming and pollution and, like, things like that. And because there's like this date, there's always like this date. It's like, well, if we don't change by this date, like it's irreversible damage or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Elon Musk had said, I think if we stay as cautious as we are now, because I mean, we are slow. I would say more so in the last 5 years, getting more towards a more like electric age.
Yeah, that's true.
Where everything is like not relying on fossil fuels. Especially with like cars,
speaking of Elon Musk and everything.
Yeah, so like, well, this is, and here's kind of like the, another great feat of human engineering, but also kind of like, it's the same downfall. There's only so much lithium.
Yes.
In the world.
Yeah, and mining for it is apparently really bad for the earth as well, like really bad for the atmosphere and everything.
So that's kind of the dichotomy that you run into is, is it really better to turn all cars electric when to mine the resources to build the electric cars is heavily pollutes the earth, mm-hmm. and you can't dispose of the cars. There's no way to dispose of them. Mm-hmm. What was it? There was a Tesla crash not too long ago, and the cops couldn't put the fire out because the battery.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Because it keeps reigniting.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. So imagine a landfill full of like dead leaking lithium ion batteries. Right. That's kind of like, I think when it comes to that, that's like people are kind of looking at that is the solution to this problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think I think this is really what we have to do. I think in terms of like our power grid. Now we, here in Kenosha, Wisconsin, for a long time, well, I mean, like, technically, we still are on coal power. It's just not from our power plant anymore. We had a coal plant.
Yes.
So now coal, and a lot of people like to think that the smoke coming out of the coal plant was like pollutant. It's not.
Oh, really?
It's.
I used to think it was a cloud factory when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, that we all did.
Yeah.
Or like just like a giant cigarette, or if you want
to
call it that.
Yeah, no, I literally thought the whole purpose of that place was to invent clouds or make clouds.
There was an episode of Dragon Tales when we were a kid where clouds literally came out of a factory.
Oh, really?
And they like, what was it? They were, I think they were either at the beach or maybe they were like trying to go sledding and like there was no snow. So they had to go to the factory to go get snow.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool. And like the snow came out of like a salt shaker.
Huh.
So that was kind of that's what I always thought as a kid. It's like, oh, yeah. We've got one of those in our town.
Yeah, right? That's funny.
So burning coal, and actually former President Barack Obama came to Kenosha and he took a tour, I think, of like that power plant that we had. We don't have any more. It was decommissioned because we found it was actually cheaper to buy power from another power plant, like in Milwaukee. So we decommissioned ours, but when it was running, it was like one of the most advanced coal plants in the country, apparently.
Really? I didn't know all this.
So they have scrubbers in the smokestack. So what you're seeing is more just like kind of steam.
Yeah.
It's more of like a steam.
Well, it comes out white. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
it's not 100% super clean, but another fun fact. So due to like the coal burning, like electricity creating process, there's like a byproduct of it and it's like super clean water, right?
Oh, really?
It's because it's getting converted into steam, right?
Right.
So there's like it's almost like a runoff, if you want to call it that. And the runoff from the process is not runoff like pollutant. It's actually super clean water, like
really
clean where you can see through it, right?
Huh.
And that became Lake Andrea.
Really? Yes. Wow.
Yeah,
the more you know.
So Lake Andrea is from the power plant. That's how it started.
I did not know that. Yeah. I knew that was like, or why I always was under the impression that was like a man-made lake or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't obviously know how. So
I think most lakes are man-made, aren't they?
I mean, maybe.
Every time I think of a lake, like, oh, like anytime I think that, like.
Well, I don't know, because there's like, how many lakes are in the state of Wisconsin? Don't we have like.
Over 10,000.
Exactly. I don't feel like those are all.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like I think it's more often than not lakes are man-made.
Really? I have no idea.
I don't think lakes are necessarily like in their entirety just natural occurrences.
Okay.
Rivers, yes. But lakes, no. Because rivers, it's kind of like that, you know, rivers can usually be dammed up and create lakes.
Yeah, true. True. So, another thing I have no idea about.
Yeah, but that's so fun fact for you. Yeah, so the power plant, like, it was whatever byproduct of their process was to create electricity. It mm-hmm. it was like it became like the super clear water.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where they actually had to dirty it.
Really?
Because when water is so clear like that, sunlight can just hit from the top of the water to the bottom and it creates algae.
Huh.
So that because they were getting like a lot of the algae buildup from that.
Yeah.
So they had to, there was something that they had to do to kind of make the water like not like, not that it's not that they made it dirty necessarily, but they like they
not
had
so
to.
Not so clear.
Yeah. They had to kind of like blacken it or blue it.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Wow. I'm learning so much during this podcast about like the environment and shit.
So if you ever think that, if you ever think that maybe like Lake Andrea isn't clean, it is. It's yeah. literally like the purest form.
Wow, that is so cool to know.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I really want to... Okay, so kind of going back to what we were saying before, our little tangent about Kenosha, I really want to learn more about dark matter. Because in yeah. doing my research about this, it said something about how like dark matter makes up 23% of the universe or something like that.
Yeah.
And dark energy makes up like 73% or something like that.
Now what's okay, so I think this will be like healthy for us to do. Let's just come up with like our theory for what it actually is, and then we'll just find out in a later episode what it actually is.
Oh my god, I don't even know where to start.
Dark matter and dark energy. I want to, like I said, I'm not very versed in the subject. But I will do research, of course, but...
I have an... Okay, this is... I don't know if it's going to make sense, but the first thing that comes to mind... So when I think of what matter is, it's something that you can... Well, maybe not always, but I feel like it's something that you could see, you can touch. You can look in a microscope and you can see atoms and things like that.
Well, we're all created from... We're all matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, matter is like an actual physical thing. I feel like dark matter, it sounds like it's like the opposite of that. Like, it's... It's something that exists, but you can't like see it. You can't,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know what it would be composed of, but that's kind of what I think of when I hear that.
There's an, I don't want to say theory. I want to say concept, because there's a concept in science and I can't remember the name, and it's not Murphy's law, because Murphy's law is something different. Murphy's law is whatever can happen will happen.
Okay.
So anything, like if there's a possibility for something to happen, it will eventually happen. Mm-hmm. That's the idea of Murphy's law. But there's another concept in science where scientific events can just happen for no reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that before, but I can't remember the name either.
Like chain reaction or something in nature can just occur for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to look up what dark matter is right now, actually. I'm sure that there's more, like, so much into it that I won't be able to find much from, like, a quick Google search, but I'm going to try.
While we're on the topic, at least.
Right. Well, I just want to know because, they're trying to learn more about it through the LHC, so I'm just curious.
Well, there's also antimatter, too.
Yeah. Which, those are different, right? They're not the same thing?
Yeah. So, they're different things.
Okay. So it says on Google, dark matter is a hypothetical form of matter thought to account for approximately 85% of the matter in the universe and about 27% of its total mass energy density. Most dark matter is thought to be non-baryonic in nature. It may be composed of some as yet undiscovered subatomic particles. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. But the fact that on a I don't know how often it occurs, but the particle, the LHC, like they keep trying to recreate the Big Bang.
Right. They're trying to recreate those conditions, right?
Yeah. Which I would love to go there.
Right.
I would love to go there. They probably wouldn't let us in, but.
Probably not. But it is interesting because it's true. It brings up, like, speaking of the Big Bang Theory, it makes you ask, like, so where did matter and antimatter or dark matter, like, where did it all come from? Where did it start? And so that's what they're trying to figure out.
And there's obviously, you know, the belief in, like, a god that created something.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's like, well, because I think people's perception of how that might occur are a little bit different. So it's like, well, the idea is that, like, God in the Christian sense who created the universe in 7 days.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And he rested on the seventh day being Sunday,
mm-hmm.
which is weird because our day starts on Sunday, our week.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a conflict about like, because, you know, the Bible talks about, like, the Sabbath or whatever. Some people think it's Sunday. Some people think it's Saturday. There's
that's where the Jews, Saturday, I think, is their day off, or, like, their, like, day of worship.
I think so,
and then Muslims, I think it's Friday. I think it's how it is. And I think the late, great George Carlin made a joke that God has a three-day weekend. That's so funny.
That is funny.
What a great way to put it.
Yeah, right?
So.
But that is interesting because it's true. I mean, I don't know anything about physics and everything, but it is true. Where did all of this start? Everything that we know now in the universe, where did it all begin? Was there ever a beginning? Was it always there? Who knows?
Like I said before, I think that... And... I think that there's the idea that, and some people believe that we shouldn't leave the earth, right? That humans are born here, we should ultimately end here, mm-hmm. right? No, I disagree. Because there, why create such an ever expanding universe? Or maybe you create such an ever expanding universe, and let's say there's a higher power that created everything that we know, right?
Sure.
You create Earth, which is like this, you know, like, like perfect world for life to exist, right? Yep. Like,
I get what you mean.
And then the fact that we haven't found like anything really that close,
mm-hmm.
we found, I think there's two viable options that scientists have said that we could potentially like move humanity to. Mars, obviously, which I think Mars is only like an option because it's the next planet in the solar system. Mm-hmm. So if you go beyond Mars, you kind of like, you're gonna hit, what is it, Saturn, I think, is next.
I have no idea.
I think it's I think it's Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, and then Uranus, Neptune, right? Eight. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, sure, sounds right.
Uranus, Neptune, well, Pluto.
Yeah,
Pluto they go back and forth on,
right?
So because, okay, so there's Mars, and then there's Titan, which is a moon of Saturn.
Mm.
So Titan has, what they discovered was that Titan has, like, an underground water reservoir all throughout the planet.
Whoa,
so it could sustain life.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's another option. But it's, like, I think, how long would it take us to get there? I think it's something like 7 years.
Wow.
It's weird to think that, like, you might drive to, like... So you take a road trip to like Florida or whatever, right? It takes mm-hmm. like 20 hours, right?
Sure.
It takes like a whole day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you're like, if you want to go to like another planet, it's years. Like it's
that's
years
crazy.
Of, and it's years of not just like you moseying around. It's years of like traveling. You know
imagine
what I mean?
Like, okay, I'm thinking about like, imagine as humans, like this Earth goes to shit and we're like, okay, let's all mass migrate to Titan. Can you imagine like what that would look like? Like all of us getting into various spaceships and like, I don't know, some people probably won't make it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some people will. Like, can you just imagine? Like, that's crazy to think about,
you know? Like, you know, I mean, the concept of history repeats itself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, well, what happened in like the 1400s and 1500s when Christopher Columbus discovered the New World and colonists were coming here from Europe?
Yeah,
a lot of them, people were dying and the conditions weren't good overseas. It took them while to get here. And I think that example of history will also happen.
That's what I mean, yeah.
In terms of space travel, yeah.
Right.
Which, I don't know if you are familiar with the game Mass Effect.
Mm-mm.
Oh, what about Halo?
Yeah.
Halo? Do you like a little bit of the story?
No. Sorry.
I mean, that's okay. So, I think my interest in these games from a young age is kind of like fueled, and I've always been interested in like space and things like that, but I think these games in particular have like just made it ever more, and more so Mass Effect, only because in Halo, humans, it takes place in like the 26th century.
Okay.
So the game takes place in 2552.
Okay.
And humanity has expanded throughout like the galaxy into different, you know, planets and like they've in like colonies and things like mm-hmm. that. And they're at war with an alien alliance.
Okay.
And then that's kind of like how the story is. But
okay.
Anyway, I won't get that far into it. But Mass Effect was kind of more focused on not necessarily so much the war, but more so like also the the diplomatic side of it too. Whereas humanity has also expanded and has discovered alien life, right?
Yeah.
And they've you don't really you kind of you experience it in the game, but there's there's a point that you kind of are not, you're just thrown into like the world as it already is. Uh-huh. It's not like you're discovering alien life, right?
Yeah.
It's already been discovered.
Yeah.
And you're creating alliances with different races of people and different civilizations and things like that. So it's a lot more of the diplomatic side, not so much at war.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the story of Mass Effect, they discover something on Mars, which is interesting. So the lore of the game, the backstory of the game is humans colonize Mars and they discover some sort of alien artifact, and it kind of propels and it allows them to advance their technology into more space travel. And that's how they find other civilizations.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So that, I think, and of course, I'm not saying that that's, you know, gospel, but it's interesting to think that a lot of people and a lot of storytellers have like kind of like the similar idea of how maybe we discover alien life. If it is real, because like there's other races of intelligent life like in those games and like in other stories.
Yeah.
So to think that like if we're the most intelligent of them all right now, then that would mean that in the future we are the ones that are going to have to be the invaders. That'll be us. So I think that we kind of get mixed up in like movies and TV of like, like alien life is always coming here and they're always more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's definitely a possibility where we are those people. Like we are that civilization. Like the ones that are first.
That would be crazy to think about. I would feel bad for all the other like alien populations because we're not that fucking smart. Some people are, don't get me wrong. Like speaking of the LHC, the people who invented that and came up with that, sure. But the rest of us, pretty fucking dumb.
I think that I don't necessarily think that it's like a matter of just simple, like smart and dumb. I think it's just a matter of like culture.
No, you're probably right.
Yeah, because I think that like, well, so with the LHC, let's say the LHC allows us to get to Mars in like half the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to colonize a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We'll even take a side note. If you had people were given like Richard Branson and Jeffrey Bezos shit for going to space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you, if I had a ticket to go to space, like if I had the money to get, like buy a space ticket, I'm buying it.
Yeah, I agree with
like
that.
Like I'm going to go to space. That's insane. Like what a huge achievement that is.
Right.
I would love. Yeah, I would 100%
do that. No, I get it. I feel like the controversy is because they could go to space do a lot more for humanity, but they also like just go to space.
But it's like, the thing is like, look at. So they're Jeffrey Bezos in particular, and also Elon Musk. They're trying to be like they're these huge pioneers for space travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, say you have a problem, right? Like say you're in math class and you have like an equation you need to solve, right?
Yeah.
And there's multiple ways you could solve it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might disagree with somebody else on the way they solved it, but ultimately it's the one that works for them, right?
Sure.
So if we are presented with a problem like world hunger, climate change,
mm-hmm.
Political strife or something like that, there could be the solution of, hey, let's stay here and try to mop up this mess.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other solution to that problem could also just be like, this world is dying and we need to think about the future of the human race.
Sure.
So
I see both sides to it.
Yeah, I see both sides to it. But the problem is like when you because I don't really give them grief about that specifically. You might have like terrible conditions in like your warehouse. Like you might underpay your employees and that's not good. I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying the space thing in particular, I'm just going to look at that by itself. I'm like, I don't think that that's really.
Yeah, no, like I said, I don't think that's inherently problematic.
No, I don't think that's inherently problematic at all.
As far as their ethics with their business, and this is a whole other topic that we don't have to get into, but as far as their ethics business-wise and things like that, they probably could be a little better, but that doesn't take away from how interesting it is, the fact that they are going to space and maybe trying to see what they could do for humanity.
And Richard Branson is actually, he was the founder of Virgin, like Virgin Capital, Virgin mm-hmm. Mobile, all that, all those conglomerates. I think he is pretty well known for being like an advocate for treating your employees well.
Yeah.
Like his famous saying is, if you take care of your employees, they'll take care of you.
Yep.
So it's like, you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your business. And he's been an advocate or an activist for like creating like a good workspace.
Mm-hmm.
So I like him for that. And if he made money doing it, I don't understand what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Jeffrey Bezos, that's a different thing. You know, you create a, you know, if he's like, there was some project he was doing where he was building like this big clock. You ever heard about that?
Mm-mm.
It was something weird. Somebody could probably look it up, but it was like maybe 10 years ago, maybe less, but they were trying to build with this big, humongous atomic clock, like in a mountain somewhere.
That's
crazy. It was very weird. It was going to replace, it was going to be like the world clock or something like that. It was something weird.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So basically he was going to build like a giant, just a giant clock in a mountain somewhere. I can't remember where, but he was spending like ridiculous amounts of money on the project.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Like, let's say you and I got to be a part of like SpaceX.
Mm-hmm.
I would love every minute of that.
Yeah.
No part of me would be like, I don't know. I don't know if I like Elon Musk. But it's like, yeah, but this effort is for like the better of society.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I think it should, like, obviously that's kind of the hope that it is. But I think some people are just worried, like, well, let's say that they do find a way to make it to Mars and life out there is viable. I think some people worry, like, well, will they just leave the rest of us behind?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is what it is. Yeah, it's very interesting, but it's like, is it really for the good of humanity? We don't truly know the intentions behind it, I guess.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, because it could. I think in its infancy, I think that it's definitely going to, it could potentially become a place like for the rich to go.
Exactly.
But at the same time, this is also what I think. I know that it's probably easy to assume that anything that's outside of Earth is going to be like this paradise for the rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like has the potential to. But on a planet like Mars, that's getting like a difficult to achieve.
Right.
Because Elon Musk was talking about this. He was talking about because Mars doesn't have an atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
So he was going to create an atmosphere by like, he was going to get like all of the world's nuclear arsenals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put them on each pole of the like North and South Pole of Mars,
mm-hmm.
and have them explode, like all explode and have like that energy create an atmosphere. It was something like that. I think he just came up with it on the fly. But he said there has to be some thermonuclear like reaction, and it has to be like the sun where it's like, it's so much energy, like more than we can even comprehend.
Okay. Idea.
Okay.
We make a big LHC.
Okay.
On Mars.
Yo.
It recreates conditions of the Big Bang Theory or whatever.
And
or
it destroys the whole universe. I'm on board. Let's do it.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, but I don't know, maybe somehow it would create like a viable living area or whatever on Mars.
I don't know because
I don't know how any of this works. It's just a hypothetical.
Because it's something like, well, we've been, I think we, I can't remember, there's a number, but it's like what humans have actually seen, like mm-hmm. What we know. It's like how much we've seen into the universe, right?
Yeah.
It's like how much we've like been able to reach out with like our telescopes, mm-hmm. our satellites, things like that. I think that, and I was a little surprised at how far it kind of was, like how much we actually know of, like besides, cause it's, you know, because the universe is ever expanding, right?
Yeah.
How much we know to have all that already exists.
Yeah.
And we still can't find anything close to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There was like the whole Alpha Centauri thing. And
yeah,
like,
I've heard of some planets like really far out there
but they're like light years away.
Exactly. Exactly.
So like I said, there'd have to be some sort of revolutionary like space travel concept to get us there.
Right.
Come on,
LHC, pull through.
Dude, that would break the world. Like if they discovered something like that.
Okay, I have something scary that I'm thinking about right now, right? So in the LHC, when these particles collide, it says it's, you know, it's trying to recreate like the Big Bang.
Right.
So it says when they collide, there's like a quick little fireball of hot and dense matter, which that they use to study.
Right.
Now, what if something goes wrong and they actually collide so many particles that it did create something like another Big Bang? What do you think would, like, would we all just die? Like, would the Earth just, like, explode? Like, what would happen?
I think if it was a black hole, because that was the initial fear, was that it would create a black hole.
Like, I'm just thinking, like, this is very interesting, but what would happen if something went wrong? Like,
somebody kind of analyzed
how do
this.
You control that? You know what I mean?
Well, you can't. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Like, they can control what particles they collide and things like that, but if something were to go wrong and they just collided just right to create a big catastrophic event like that, there's no stopping it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, we'll be dead. Like, okay. There's no getting rid of a black hole. We'll be dead.
Great. All right. So that's what my nightmares are going to be about from now on out.
Even light can escape a black hole.
Exactly.
So yeah, we're dead. It's not even like a question of like,
do you think something like that is possible? Like, I'm curious. Yeah. I wish I would have read more into this, but I'm curious about like what the biggest, like explosion that they had, or maybe I shouldn't say explosion, reaction. Yeah.
Well, Murphy's Law, whatever can happen will happen.
All right. Well. That's so terrifying.
So then that draws into question, could it happen with their capabilities? Could they potentially create a black
hole? Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I don't think that...
I'm not sure like what magnitude their reactions are right now.
I don't think it could create a singularity like what we think of as a black hole. I don't think it would create something like that. I think it would create some other variation of like kind of in that realm, some sort of chain reaction, but I don't think it would create a black hole like we think of black holes.
Okay.
At least personally, I don't.
Right.
I think that they can, there's like, and they could have the capabilities to do it. I'm not sure, but yeah, I'm not a physicist, but I don't think that, I mean, if I was a scientist and like really excited about that work, really, and as much as you like the topic and you, you know, that's your career and that's like your, or even not even your career, like your passion, like your life's long just dream to like be part of something like that. Mm-hmm. Where I think part of you kind of would want to try. Is that weird to say?
No.
I think part of you, I mean, yeah, you'd have to be like, oh, maybe not. They could destroy the world. But I think that you're like, but if it, you know, works out.
Right. What are the benefits?
Yeah, exactly. Huh.
Oh.
It was like in the movie Interstellar.
I haven't seen it.
Haley, come on.
You know that I don't watch movies and shit.
Dude, I can't even believe that.
I don't know why you get surprised.
I have to create a list of movies, especially like for just like the show. You have to definitely watch because it's just amazing.
All right.
Well. I think that was
pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, people listening, maybe they should send in like what they think would happen. Like,
yeah,
if something were to go wrong with the LHC and like the particles collided just right to recreate another big bang.
Yeah. I'll put my email in the description so you can write in.
But I feel like that'd be cool. I just want to see what people like think about that.
Yeah. That'd be really interesting. Yeah. All right, well.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. You want to wrap it up there?
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right, guys, thank you for listening, and we will see you in the next one.
I had always heard your entire life flashes in front of you.
Strange reality.